We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we're live. Paul Mercurio with us here. I'm Brian and company. That's where I want to start. First of all, I'd like to talk to you for an hour and a half.
I got two pancakes over easy, three eggs, and a buffalo chip.
Yeah, on top. Put it on top. But, you know, it's funny because you're just a little older than me, and I'm always curious. Do you feel like you have to make people laugh all the time, or are you able to just sort of be you and be you?
Off
yeah,
stage?
Like, do you
no,
feel-
if I made you let you do that, I can't stand being one of those people or those people that have to make people laugh all the time.
Okay, so you're just yourself.
Right, so you meet me now, and I'm kind of like fairly low-key. And one time I went to a club, and I hadn't been there before, and the owner comes up to me and goes, you going to be okay? I'm like, yeah, why? He goes, well, because the act before you's got a lot of energy, and you seem kind of low-key. I go, I'm going to be fine, trust me. He goes, are you going to say? I go, look, did you see that the last name of mine has a vowel at the end?
Yeah.
I get a little emotional, trust me. It's going to be fine. And I said, I save it for the stage, and it's not fake, but it's a different kind of energy, so I'm very animated on stage. But if I were that way off stage, you'd be like, this guy is so annoying. Get him away from me. Like, you wouldn't want to hang out with me. So it's – and I don't like comics who are on all the time. Like, it's just –
so you don't feel that pressure, though? They're like, oh, but everyone thinks I'm funny. I got to be funny.
No.
That's great. That's a good trade.
No, not at all. You know, like, the thing is, it's like you don't want to be on too much because then it just sort of turns people off. And you're like, oh, this guy just can't – it just comes off insecure. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, I think you're great. Listen, I want to just tell you, we have a short couple minutes here and then a bigger block.
Yeah.
You go to comicsroadhouse.com, C-O-M-I-X, roadhouse.com. You'll be at Mohegan Sun June 2nd. Third and fourth.
Yep.
Do you do like two a day? Like,
got one Thursday night. The first show's Thursday night, 8 o'clock. The second, one Friday, 8 o'clock. Two Saturday, 6 and 8 p.m. Yeah.
And you usually like is your do you work for the Late Show like full time?
Stephen and I Colbert go back to the Daily Show together. I was a writer performer on the Daily Show. Then he had the Colbert Report. Worked on that show. And basically, we're, like, attached at the hip. And so now I'm at the Late Show with Stephen Colbert. But I kind of am like a freelancer. So I'm in when I can be in. And then when I got all my own stuff, I'm acting and touring and doing my own TV stuff, I'm away from the show. So I kind of can sort of make my hours, but not completely.
Did you know that – I mean, first of all, is he as smart as he comes across as?
No, he's actually a drunk. we just wheel him to the stage and prop him up.
And
we slap him in the face, and he goes. And then we put him back. He sleeps in a bath of gin. I think the thing that people think about comedians is that we're kind of not maybe smart or educated or whatever, you know. And so there's this – not you, but sometimes there's a presumption like, well, you know, these guys are just clowns. But the kind of comedy that we do is sort of news-based, parsing the news, which goes back to the Daily Show.
Right.
And the monologue for the Late Show is really – what we were doing on the Daily Show, taking stuff from the news, using sound bites and footage from the news to set up jokes and material. So, I think he's bright. I think there's a lot of bright writers on the show. And, you know, I think you got to, whether you're doing news stuff or not, I think a comedian's sort of an observationist about life. And I think you got to kind of have a little bit of smarts to do that well. You know what I mean?
We got to take a quick break.
Yeah.
You know, what you do with there, you basically go out before the show.
Yeah.
And you set up the here's the deal.
Yeah. Do the warm up, get the audience going. I also perform on the show, do sketches and, you know, stand up on the show. And so I wear a bunch of different hats on the show.
Yeah. I'm a big believer, like in my career, the advice I got was, you know, get a mentor or attach your ride to somebody you respect who you know is a winner.
Yeah.
And you can sort of, and the people like Colbert or even Apatow in his circle, like, they bring their people with them. And what a great opportunity for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Stephen and I, you know, we kind of were writing together on The Daily Show. And so we kind of, I was there he came in after that, and then, you know, we just kind of hit it off. And so as he's moved along, we just think alike, and so we wanted to work alike. Plus, I get him discounts on booze, so right. He's a big fan.
You fill that bathtub
with
gin.
No, but so it's been really good to sort of be part of this sort of lineage that goes back. There's like he and I and a couple of other people that sort of doing. Yeah, it's really been great.
Listen, we're going to take a quick break. Also, we have a great story about, I mean, the podcast of guests is unbelievable. We'll have his Paul McCartney story about how he got on the podcast next. I'm Brian and Company, WTSC News Talk 1080. Paul Mercurio said he could do the weather, so he can do the weather. What's the weather?
It's cloudy.
All right, good. We're moving on. Paul Mercurio, by the way, Emmy and Peabody Award winner. Like, as a journalist, I'm like, that's, you know, like, I don't even get that. I got it nominated for like a national Emmy, but I didn't even come close.
Hey, that's something.
No,
come on.
When you're lauding nominations, you know you're struggling.
Yeah.
But listen.
Well, they're not my awards. I took it from John Stewart's office. But, you know, he's tiny. I can take him.
I would love to have you on again because I want to talk about The Daily Show and so on in the past, but I don't want to focus on that too much now because you got these shows coming up at Mohegan.
Yeah.
And then that's June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and you go to comicsroadhouse.com, where you can probably find them in a bunch of different places.
Yeah, my website, paulmercurio.com and all that. Yep.
So when you like, what's it like? I mean, you've been doing it for a long time now, but people who don't know Paul, you went to law school. You're an attorney, and then you went and followed your passion, which and again, like, tons of props for that. I'm sure your folks were like, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
Are you doing?
Well, I just wanted to give my mother a heart attack.
Hey, right. Did it work?
Well, yeah, I was doing M&A deals, merger and acquisition deals on Wall Street as a lawyer and a banker, and I started writing jokes as a hobby, and then I went to a private function, and I met Jay Leno at a private function. And I had these jokes I had written. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do with these jokes. So I went up to him afterwards, and I go, I don't know if you need jokes, but you can have these jokes.
The way I read it, you tried to sell him jokes at the party.
Not even to sell. I'm just like, I'm a fan. I'm never going to use these jokes. I'm a young lawyer at a big firm in New York. This is what my life is now. Here you go. And he was like, okay.
Because some say he's a jerk. He was gracious.
No, he was really nice. He was really – I started laughing when he talked to me because he really talks like they're letting helium out of a balloon very slowly. It's like, right? And then 2 days later, my phone rings. It's like, it's Jay Leno. Is Paul there?
He called you.
And I thought it was what are the chances Jay Leno's going to call me, right? So I thought it was my friend David, who likes to do impressions, pulling pranks.
Stop pranking me.
That's exactly what I said. I go, yeah, right, David. He goes, not really, it's Jay Leno. I go, yeah, right. I go, and I actually said to Jay Leno, you do a lousy Jay Leno. And he goes, no, it's really me. And I'm like, oh, my God. And he goes, I read your stuff. I need jokes for the Tonight Show monologue. I'll pay you $50 a joke. If I use a joke. And I go, okay. And then he goes, by the way, before you hang up, what do you do? He goes, I'm a lawyer. He goes, I knew it. I go, why? He goes, you write like a lawyer. You're writing a joke, not a contract. Get to the punchline already. And it was like five lines to get to the punchline. And that's how it started. And people always say to me, did you know you were going to be a comedian? I'm like, no. I grew up in Providence. My parents had a small mom-and-pop furniture store. I was on Wall Street. I was 30 years. I'm going to work.
Couldn't be further from the stage.
And they were like, were you funny? I'm like, well, I was always the funniest lawyer in my law firm, which is not saying much. It's kind of like saying you're the sexiest IT guy, you know? It's not really saying much. And then that's how it started. And then he did one of my jokes on The Tonight Show that I wrote for him. And it, for $50, blew my head off my shoulders.
Well, I always tell people in writing, because I mentor a lot of young journalists, and until you get paid for something, you're an amateur.
Yeah.
But once you get paid, you're a pro.
Yeah.
And that changes
everything. Yeah.
And so I think that's amazing. We're talking with Paul Mercurio, of course, here, comedian. He's going to be playing at Mohegan Sun June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
Oh, and can I just say, by the way, when I told my wife I think I want to leave comedy, leave Wall Street.
She said, I'm thinking of leaving you.
That's a good joke. There you go. I'm not gonna even top it. Leave it. That's perfect.
Listen, the podcast. You know, I do a stupid Red Sox Yankees podcast here, and I'm
a big Red Sox fan.
And I did a politics podcast when I was in Boston, but booking people is difficult.
Yeah.
And so you know, you have the podcast Inside Out with Paul Mercurio, and you can get it everywhere. I mean, I use both Apple Podcasts and my Spotify, and you can probably get it through both. And so you've had incredible guests, but everyone's saying they got to hear the story about Paul McCartney. First of all, even like, and not that we mentioned his name, he's like the Voldemort of radio, but like even like Howard Stern has McCartney on, and he's a puddle of you know, humility. And tell me about that. I mean, he's like the legend of all time.
It was crazy. You know, my buddy Steve Parker's here. I was on his show. We great guy. We talked about it a little bit. But Paul McCartney was a guest on the show, and he had just finished rehearsal. And I have a one-on-one podcast. I just like to talk to people. I like long-form interviews. I grew up listening to them. My mom would have the radio on all the time. I think it's a lost art, and I have curiosity. So I have everybody from Neil deGrasse Tyson to Stone Cold Steve Austin to John Meacham, the historian, to Paul McCartney. So there's something for everybody. And I'm fascinated by musicians because I can't do music. I don't know how they make music. So he finishes rehearsal, Paul does, and I'm running to get into the studio, and I round the corner, and in the hallway outside the studio is Paul McCartney standing all alone.
Waiting for you.
I don't know, but he was like, I would. That's what I tell myself. And he's standing there, like, with his arms folded, with a little Cobra T-shirt on, like, tucked in, with a little belt, like, look like a 12-year-old boy, chewing gum, leaning against the wall, like he's waiting for a bus, just looking around. Nobody's with him. So, like, you see him, and that freezes you, but then it's, like, a whole other level. Like, there's nobody. There's not,
no
like,
security,
a,
no team, no posse.
Not a parrot on his shoulder, nothing, right? So I see him, like, my whole world slows down. I'm like, oh, my God, it's Paul McCartney. And then I'm like, should I say hi? Should I not say hi? I don't want to bother him. And then I'm like, look, he's alone in the hallway without security. He's like a gazelle on the Serengeti Plains.
He's the weak caribou at the back of the pack.
And I'm the lion. I'm going to pounce. So I go over, and I'm just going to be like, nice to meet you. There's kind of an unwritten code, like, you leave the guests alone. But he's out in the hallway exposed. I'm honored to meet you. Excited to see your performance, and I start to walk away. He goes, wait, come back. I go, yeah. He goes, what's your name? I go, Paul. He goes, oh, Paul, that's a good name. I'm like, I'll do the jokes, all right, buddy? You just play your little love me do and collect your royalties. This is all I have.
Did you say that?
No, I wanted to. I don't have that big a, you know what. So he goes, what do you do? I go, well, I'm a stand-up. I act. I work on this show. I work on the other show, blah, blah, blah. He goes, oh, stand-up, yeah. He's, I knew Richard Pryor. He goes, you tour? Yeah, I tour. You got a kid? Yeah, it's hard. So 5-10 minutes go by. I'm talking to Paul McCartney like I'm talking to you. And on the outside, I'm like, hey, I'm talking to Paul McCartney. On the inside, I'm like, I'm talking to Paul McCartney, like out of my mind.
Of course.
Somebody, everybody listening had one of these conversations, but whether it's like a girl or a guy you want to act now, your boss or something, two things are going on in your mind at the same time. Your mind splits. One half of your mind's like, keep it going, keep it going. Think of another question so you can keep talking. The other half is, don't screw it up, don't screw it up. So, and as I'm talking to him, I'm getting closer and closer to his face because he's Paul McCartney and he looks amazing. And I am so close to his face that he starts leaning backwards. I swear to God. But he's against the wall, so he can't really get away from me.
Can't go any further.
No, I'm like those chimps on the Discovery Channel that clean ticks off their mates. I was so close. I could have cleaned fleas off his eyebrows. I was that close, right? So now as I'm talking, I'm like, okay, this is going really great. It's like 10 minutes. I'm done. Like, let's leave the party early. Yeah. I leave. I go into the bathroom. I start hyperventilating. I call my wife. I'm like, you're not going to believe it. She goes, where are you? I go, I'm at the bathroom at the show. And I just, and then I blurt these words out. Paul McCartney should do my podcast because that's how my crazy brain works. I'd like to know how he makes music. So I go. I knock on his dressing room door. And I go, look, I know this is crazy. But I would love to talk to you about how you make music. Would you do my podcast? He goes, yeah, sure. Just like that. Just like that. Now, anybody listening, we all had this hot girl, hot guy, whatever, wanted to ask him out. They're way above your pay grade. You know what? I'm going to ask him out. They're going to say no, but at least on my deathbed, I'll know that I asked him out. Instead, they say yes, and you don't have a plan. So that was me. And he goes, yeah, sure. How would we do it? And I'm not making this up to be funny. This is how I sounded. He goes, how are we doing? I went, and I start like rocking back and forth and rubbing my leg like Rain Man, like, I'll come to London. And he's like, we're in a room in New York together. Why would you come to London? And then he says it is easy to do. And I actually said to Paul McCartney, oh, it's really easy. I don't want to be bothered. You could do it on your phone naked from your toilet. I'm like, oh, what am I saying? I'm like, okay, I got to get out of here, right?
You got to cut.
So I say, look, I'll leave you alone. I'll go talk to your assistant. I'll set it up. He goes, no, this is the mind blow right here. He goes, you and I will do it. I go, what do you mean? He goes, you and I, just they're going to make it too complicated. We'll just exchange numbers. And when we call, when I call you, you got to be ready to do it. So now I'm handing my phone. My hand is shaking. I have a post that I'm handing my phone number to Paul McCartney. Okay. I leave. He does the show amazing. I'm running late for another taping I have to go to. My phone rings. I don't recognize the number. I let it ring to voicemail, and this is the message on my phone.
Tommy here. I'm going to ring you back in 5 minutes to do a podcast thing. I've got some time now. Otherwise, I'm going to run out of time. So if you're there in 5 minutes' time, you got me. Okay, bye.
Did you check the message?
I checked it. I called him back. I'm like, why are you bothering me? I get it. We have the same name. Just move on. No. What happened was I retrieved the call in Manhattan, and if you saw me from afar, I would have looked like one of these unfortunate people that have mental problems like I was talking. I took my phone. I threw it down the street, and I started screaming, idiot, moron, screened call, Paul McCartney, screened, like random words. You wouldn't know what was going on. And then I called him back, and we got
worked
the
it out. You know, let me just say this. We have to go, unfortunately, and we'll have to have you
back.
Too bad.
This has been great, man.
And, yeah, I really love talking to you.
What does this button do? No, I'm just kidding.
June 2nd through the 4th, Paul will be doing a bunch of shows. Comics Roadhouse, comixroadhouse.com. If you want to go to the show, I would love to talk to you more about it. I do find that going straight to the source sometimes is the best way to go, and you should ask the woman or man you wanted to always ask and never did, because you never know what can happen. It's great to meet
you.
Hopefully,
thank you so much.
Get another
me.
Chance to talk again.
Anytime, man. I don't live far from here, so I got a place in Stonington. Come anytime and hang out with you guys.
Your time is 9 o'clock. Have a good Memorial Day, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.